Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and this is Linda, and this is Soul in the City, and I am so glad that you're with me this evening. I have a special guest that may pop in and out, and we are just going to be talking about the power of your thoughts and the power of the words that we speak, and even the words that others speak with us or over us. Today, my co-host is not here, and I just want her to know that in thoughts and prayers, I'm with her and hoping that she'll feel better soon. So I send my love and a shout-out to her. And you know how we do it. We start out the program with a little music, and I'm going to be honest. The program is just going to go as God allows it to flow. To start off with Bread of Life by Fred Hammond. And while that is playing, I just want you to take a deep breath like we do. And let's breathe again in and very slowly. And breathe out. And since we're talking about the power of words, let's think about some words why Bread of Life is playing while Bread of Life is playing. You know, the power of the word love. You know, take a moment just to breathe in that love and breathe out. And how do you feel when you hear that word, and how does it make you feel? And how do you feel when you know that God so loved you that he gave his son for you, that you're precious to him? And then no matter what you've done or what you've gone through, he just loves you. Think about that while I play Bread of Life by Fred Hammond. And then we'll be back and we'll talk about the power of love and the power of words.
Bread of Life. Didn't think you were on earth, a holy king, a constant turn. You are the living word, Savior. Come on. Didn't think
you were on earth, a holy king, a constant turn.
Come on,
Thank you.
no matter where you find yourself,
Hammond. And, you know, as I was listening to this song, I was thinking about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and how powerful God created the world, the earth, with the power of his words. So he created our existence. He created your existence. He created your world. So what words are you speaking over your own life, creating an existence for you? I have an awesome guest, an awesome man,
good.
And an awesome man of God with me today that we are just going to talk. Like, we have some awesome conversations sometimes, and we're just going to sit at the table, you'd be surprised, and just talk about the power of our thoughts, the power of the Word, the power that we allow other people to speak over us. Have you ever had that? You know, maybe when you were a child, somebody told you, for me, you're clumsy, you're this, you're that, oh, you're just like your dad, you're not smart, whatever those things. And you took those words and you put them inside of yourself and you lived them. How powerful it is to release that you've carried in you, for me, would be 54 years that I was clumsy. And it wasn't even meant in a negative, put me down way. It was just an observation that my grandmother had that I was clumsy a little bit of the time, but I carried that I was clumsy and that I fell over things, fell into things, when the reality was I carried some words that did not belong in my being. So what, you know, think about some of the things that people have spoken over you and that you've carried, and have you allowed yourself to live in those words? Have you created a life for yourself over some words that you spoke? You know, even in your present, I'm fat, I'm too skinny, I'm ugly, I'm this, I'm that, I can't handle this. This is too much for me. Have you lived out those words in your life that somebody else has spoken over you or that you have spoken over yourself? Because in the scriptures it says there really is in the power of the tongue. So actually it says, and it's from Proverbs 18:21, death and life is in the power of the tongue. So we can speak life over ourselves. And we can actually speak a physical death, or death of relationship. You know, when you say I can never have a healthy relationship, or I can never have a person, I am not capable of having love, why would you? Those, all those things are a death. You're speaking death over something, a relationship or whatever. So what are you creating in your life?
And the other thing is we've allowed ourselves to accept and listen to the negative much more than we listen to the positive.
Uh-huh.
And God says we're righteous.
Uh-huh.
He says we're clean. He says, you know, we have that we can walk in the Spirit. But, you know, we have to say those things to ourselves. We really do. I call it rehearsing.
That's
you know, it. Yeah, you know, and I can give you an example. I'm this week in a meeting, you know, and I'm at work and quite honestly getting kind of beat up in a conference call. And the word came to me, a soft word, turneth away wrath. And I just simply said, you know, you guys are right. I'm sorry. You know, I was professional and tactful, and I wasn't patronizing, but I turned away. And all of a sudden, all the criticism just immediately stopped because they realized I was on their side. I wasn't fighting them. I wasn't the adversary. You know, the other thing is Paul says, you know, he talks about think on these things, anything that is good, anything that is righteous, and I can't quote the whole verse, but you know what I'm talking about. It's practice, you know, but the last thing I want to do is lay guilt on anybody, myself included. You got to get the word in.
Yeah.
You can't speak it out. You can't rehearse it if you don't get it in. But trust the Lord to do that. You know, we talked about faith coming by hearing. It all fits together. If I hear the word, it comes in. Then I have to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, plant that in me. Plant that in my heart. Make it real to me, and then bring it to me when I need it, and trust him to do that,
right.
And then not beat myself up when sometimes I don't remember. Sometimes I can't quote the exact scripture, but I know the principle. I know the principle, and I can ask him to bring that principle to me as it happened. I didn't ask him to bring that. He brought it. All of a sudden, that proverb just popped in my head, and I thought, you know, I can diffuse this whole situation by simply agreeing and saying, I'll fix it. So that's one, yeah, that's what some thought.
Well, and then something you said, well, faith comes by hearing. Even, you know, when you take in the negative that you or someone else has spoken over your life, you're no good. Yeah, da-da-da-da. You're too fat, da-da-da-da, whatever. You took that in by faith that that is yours.
Right.
When it really isn't, you don't have to receive that into your being. And as children of God, you know, really as sons and daughters of God, we are, I almost sometimes it's kind of bad. I don't know if it's bad, I'm putting that out there, but you know, he wants us to live an abundant and full life. So when we take in those negative words, we create for ourselves this, whatever that is, that we're, I don't have enough money, I'm not this, I'm not that. We create for ourselves out of the words that we speak. It's almost like words have these entities of energy that we are sending out, and we, through faith in the words that we speak, even when they're negative, we can create with those.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the other thing is that, you know, a lot of folks say, you know, Linda, I'm close to your age, a little more higher, actually. You know, we all remember Norman Vincent Peale talked about positive thinking, and I'm not criticizing him, but I do hope we all remember all good words and deeds are from the Lord. They're not from my human heart. I have to trust him to bring those to me, to plant those, and then provide them when I need them. It's not really just positive thinking, though that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's still all about faith. But faith and the word, they're so intertwined, you can't separate them.
Well, because in the beginning,
exactly.
When you really think about that, in the beginning was the word. And even in Genesis, you know, God said. God said. And then he created from what he said. And so with a transformed mind and a transformed, we are in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have the power also to co-create with the words that we speak over ourselves and others. So, and I'm saying this because I do it, and I'm not, but it really helped to reinforce for me how, you know, who do I have faith in and who do I trust? Because even when I catch on to some type of negativity or those negative words saying that I have faith, then I have to question who my faith is in. Because God says, you know, you're the apple of my eye. You know, he has such, you know, I knew you before you were even conceived. You know, he has these things. I know you. He knows your possibilities. And he sees such the good in you that when you have faith in the negativity, are you really having faith in who he believes you are?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, there's just so many examples, you know, names.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's names. The name of Jesus. There's Joshua. Why Peter? Why was Abraham renamed Abraham?
Why?
Those all mean something. The word is so important to God that we need it. We need that word in our hearts and our minds. But again, I just want to emphasize, at least for me, it's still God. It's not just because, you know, the Hindus and the Buddhists can repeat prayers, mm-hmm. and I'm not criticizing those either. I'm just saying, you know, my faith is in the Lord. He provides the word. I repeat the word to me, to others, and I spread the faith by that, both in myself and those who I meet. But it's all him. It still all ends up in him. Okay?
It is all him. Well, in a sense, the words that, when you said that, the words that we speak that have power and that are positive and good, those, I believe, are words from him. Because I believe that the words that we speak over ourselves that are not true can come from another entity. You know what I'm saying? You take in those negative words, you have to almost ask yourself, where did those come from? When you create whatever for you, fear, da-da-da-da-da, are those really, and you have to ask, are these really true for me? Is this really God wants for me? And where did that entity of words come from?
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, and here's another, and I'm just sharing the things that work for me.
And that's all we ask of this program.
Waking up in the morning and go, Lord, you're big enough. This is a rehearsal. Lord, you're big enough. I don't care what problem comes today. You're big enough. The worst thing that could possibly happen to me, you're still big enough. And I know the end of the story. There's nothing that can happen to me that will prevent me from being with you. There's nothing that can happen that can prevent me from being your child. You know, I could, something could happen. I could, you know, step in front of a bus. Well, I'll go to heaven. You know, and I'm just saying those are the kind of thought processes and the positive rehearsing that I'm talking about. Now, I know the end of the story. I know there's nothing on this earth that can separate me from the love of Christ. And I'm, you know.
How powerful is that word?
Yeah, so I'm just saying, you know, it's practice. And trust me, I've been practicing, you know, I'm still practicing. And there are days when I forget, you know, and I feel overwhelmed. And the enemy comes in and goes, you can't handle this. This is too big for you. You know, nobody appreciates you. You know, nobody appreciates how hard you're working or or the sacrifices you're making or whatever, you know, or this person doesn't like you or that person does, and I have to stop and go, no, but God loves me. And I know he's big enough to handle this. And there's nothing that can stop me. There's nothing that can stop me. I mean, even if I quit breathing, my life continues.
Yeah.
I mean, how big is that?
Huge, when you think of it, because even in those things, like, I'm not sure, so-and-so, whatever, like me, did I do good on this project? Do they really appreciate my work? Sometimes we carry those, and I thought about that. You know, we're having a lot going on at my job, too, right now, and it's like, do they appreciate what I do, what I bring to the table? But sometimes you even have to ask, is that really true? Because sometimes you're just carrying stuff that really, it just isn't true. But if the thought enters our mind and we take it in and then we kind of function out of that, and sometimes, like you said, rehearsing what it is God has for you, his promises and what he wants for you. You know, he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, more of a fulfilling life. Is, you know, we all know you can say the positive and all of that, and that's great, but life does have challenges sometimes. And even though through those challenges, you still can make it through, it's all about what you, who you trust.
Yeah. Well,
and you got to trust God.
Here's another one, you know, that works for me, that I rehearse this, and that is, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Am I doing it for the appreciation of others? I'm not supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be working as unto the Lord. That's another one that gets me through a work day.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, you know, I'm here because I'm supposed to. These people, my employer expects my best effort. And my God says, I work as unto him. If I don't give my best effort, I've cheated God. You know, whether my employer appreciates it or not, that's important. Mm-hmm. I want that feeling at the end of the day that God's pleased with my efforts. You know, regardless of whether my employer is or not. It's really nice when he is, but that's
mm-hmm.
not the ultimate, you know. That's not the goal.
And I think we can relax in that he knows our heart. So he knows when you've given the best for each day. And our best for each day changes. You know, for one day you can give 100% and that's your best. The next day, you know, for whatever reason, all you got in you is a 75. But that's your best for that day. And God knows us so well and he loves us so much that he knows the potential of us for each day.
Well, I needed to hear that. I really needed to hear that because I struggle with that because I do try to do my best each day, but I know there are days when I'm just not as sharp. I'm just not as on top of it. I just want to hang around the water cooler and chat with everybody, you know. And you know, and there's a balance there. And I have to remember that that's just humanity. You know?
It is.
You know, I can't, I'm not Superman. You know, even with Christ. I mean, I can do all things through Christ. I'm not saying that. But I'm also, I think we have to give ourselves a little.
Let up on ourselves.
Yeah, we beat ourselves up. And I'm one of the world's worst of beating myself up, of going, oh, you know, did I work 10 hours a day? Well, you know, you can't do that every day, or 12, or whatever the case may be. So I'm glad you brought that up. But, you know, we're talking about changing our mind, and I just call it rehearsal. And I really, you know, the other thing, and this, I learned it a lot, quite a few years ago. A really, really good friend of mine taught it, and that is the Lord's Prayer. And it's almost, you know how the Catholics have the rosary?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that has almost become my rosary. And it just works. I can't explain it all the time, but somehow if during the day I can say the Lord's Prayer, and I'm not talking about just, again, some mantra that puts you into some kind of trance. I don't mean that, but to mean it.
To mean, well, when you think about give us this day our daily bread, when you just think about that and the words and the powers of that, because it's saying for this day, Lord, this day right here, this moment, right now, what I need, my daily bread, is whatever I need for this day. I know that you'll supply that.
Yeah. Not going to worry about yesterday.
No, for this moment.
I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. Today, give us our daily bread.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a powerful thing. You know, and that, you know, we talked about this earlier today. That's when the Christian life becomes an adventure. You know, when we can get to the place where we can say, Lord, I trust you for today. I trust you for this moment. Tomorrow, I don't know what tomorrow brings, but you do. I can't do anything about yesterday. You've already taken care of that today. Now, here it is. Here's my heart. Here's my mind. Here's my feet. You know, I give you there. Yeah, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, for the mercy of God, I give you my body, a living sacrifice. And then we talked about this. And then I'm asking you, Lord, to renew my mind. Give me kingdom eyes
that I
can see as you see, that I can touch as you touch, that I can love as you love. You know, and I know we're almost kind of getting off, but it all fits together.
I do feel like, because these are powerful words, and we're helping everyone, including ourselves, really helping me, to understand the power of the words we speak. And when we do get into that place where we are, you know, have gotten into the place where we've beaten ourselves up, how to get out. And how to get out is just like how you got in. You put some negative words in the vessel. Well, how to get out of that place with the when the thought has brought you to this negative place, this place where you're beating yourself up, is to speak words. And how much more powerful are the words that God gave us, you know? To speak yourself out of that negative place is to use his words, because there's power in his words.
Well, yeah, and I would challenge myself and you and your listeners, you would be amazed how much of the Word you know if you would ask the Lord to bring them to you. If you would ask God, Lord, I need a word, and how much of the Scripture you know. Okay, big deal, so you don't know that it's Romans 12:1. God is impressed with the fact that you know where it is in the Bible. He's impressed with and pleased with the fact that you know it.
And I believe the Holy Spirit brings it to our remembrance.
What the Word says, he will.
He will bring it to your remembrance.
Yeah.
Right at the time that you need that word, it'll come up through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, asking. Mm-hmm. You know, excuse me if I'm in my soapbox, but what is the most powerful prayer in the world? It's one word. Help. Lord, help. H-E-L-P. I can't do this. Help. And that includes, Lord, I need your word. Lord, I need Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is a being.
He is a being.
And I can ask him personally, I need you now. I need you this moment.
And the Lord does say, ask.
Right. Ask and you shall receive.
And you shall receive. And he comes to us it's the most amazing thing to me. Because sometimes in my quiet time, I'll just think and I'll hear in his still small voice, I love you. Before I even speak or do anything or pray, it's like that's the first thing he wants me always to know, is that he loves me.
Here's the other thing, and again, you know, maybe we're getting off, but let's just trust the Holy Spirit.
I am trusting the Holy Spirit.
When's the last time you heard the Lord laugh?
Wow.
I don't hear him laugh, and he laughs all the time to me. Hey, we have a tremendous sense of humor, and I mean that in no disrespect. But read the Bible. Don't believe it. I mean, when you threw a donkey, okay. You know, God laughs over us. He can't, you know, he's not upset. He's not disappointed. He's not surprised by our humanity. He's not shocked. You know, that's why John says that we can go to him and ask for forgiveness, because he knows. He understands. And I don't, like, again, I'm sure we're getting off the track here.
No, I think we're getting to, it is about the word and the power of the word, and how much more powerful than the word, than his word that he inspired to men, through men. And I agree with that. I believe, well, you know, I had some really, probably some people would say weird conversations with God, but I think he laughs, and we share a laugh, you know, together. In the morning, I call it coffee with God. I have my tea with God, and we hang out, and, you know, sometimes we share a joke. And I feel like he's that personal, because that's who he is. He really is my Abba and my Father. And so, you know, with my earthly father, I may have coffee or tea, and we will share some laughter and relax with each other and be in another place.
That's so interesting. I just wrote yesterday, maybe even this morning, I think it was, or maybe last night, I call it holding hands.
Do you?
And it was a five, it wasn't really a poem, but basically it was, you've gotten the cart in front of the horse, just come, and this was God to me, just come be with me. Sit on the back porch, listen to the crickets, and let's hold hands.
Oh.
It, you know, and I absolutely believe that. Solomon, the Song of Solomon, says that one look from me, from this poor person, to God thrills him to the point where he almost faints. Do you think he enjoys sitting on the back porch with me? Yeah, I do. I do. And it's not because I'm special. It's because he just loves me. He's my Abba.
Abba.
He's my
And that's
dad.
What, he is my dad, he's my papa, he's my Abba. And this morning, actually, that happened to me, and we might be getting off, but it really is back to the words and what we think. Because think about the words that we speak brings about some imaginative place, but really this is a real place. This morning I woke up to God saying, come sit with me. And I just got up out the bed. I'm like, you're going to get my tea. I was so excited because I was going to sit with God for a few minutes. And I really, you know, those moments in the morning, which some people might even say, they almost make me late, but, you know, it's divine timing. And always, I treasure those moments in the morning when it's me and God. And my coffee or my tea. That is when I get the word. That's when my mind is renewed. And sometimes in those times, whatever I've done to bring it all back, to beat myself up, because we all have those moments when we beat ourselves up, is when I'm reminded how precious I am to him, because I'm his daughter, I'm his child. And this, you know, and I'm probably, somebody will probably think I'm crazy. I put my feet up in the chair when I have my coffee with God, and I imagine that he's in this chair. I have a vivid imagination, and I'm not going to be ashamed to say it. But this morning, it was like, I was like, oh, this is God's feet. Let me put my feet down. And this is how silly I am. It's okay. But the Lord said to me, you have your feet on my lap. Let's talk. And it was like so precious to me.
But you've got the right idea. We should never forget who is God.
Mm-hmm.
But we should also never forget he is Father.
He
God.
Is Father God.
You know, what dad doesn't love for his kids to come sit and just say, I got a problem. I got an issue. Or, Dad, did you see me score the touchdown? Or whatever it is.
Or I'm excited excited about this, and it's nothing. Or I just, like, I really didn't have, not that I don't have problems, but at that moment, which is, you know, I didn't have anything that I really wanted to ask of God. I just was excited about being with God.
Yeah.
And I think you talked to me about that before, about...
He's excited about you being there. He's more excited than you are. That's
mm-hmm.
what's crazy. You think you're not. Sometimes I think, really, God, you're excited about me coming out on the back porch with a cup of coffee to sit with you? And I hear, yes, I am, son, because I love you. Well, there's nothing I'd rather do.
And even bringing that back to words, how powerful are those words to you and what they bring you through when you're having not the greatest day or whatever, when you remember that this morning you sat with the creator of the universe and he was excited about being with you, and the first thing that he said to you was, I love you.
Yeah, isn't that so cool?
Is
oh,
that
there's another one that again, a friend shared with me, and that is we forget it positionally. Now, we can get into all the theological and all that. Positionally, I'm seated in the heavens.
Mm.
I'm on the right-hand side of Christ. There's nothing on this earth that can touch me. Nothing. That God, you know, God may allow a hard time and probably will, but even that's for my good. That's to stretch me and grow me and mature me and teach me faith and perseverance and endurance. But I'm still seated in the heavenly. That's
wow.
the word.
So when you're seated, I mean, even think about that, about when you are beating yourself up, that no matter what happens, we have to know that we're going to get through it because you're seated in righteousness. Heavenly, how powerful.
Yeah, the other picture that God has given me that I love, and I've shared this with many people, is I see God sitting on his throne, and I see myself at 6 years old, five, four, somewhere in there, throngs of 20 other kids all running after me, pointing, laughing, giggling, making fun of me, him opening his arms, taking me on his lap, resting my head against his chest and going, and shooing them all away and going, you can't touch him. He's mine. You can't touch him. You can laugh. You can point. You can do whatever you want, but you can't touch him. Now, does God allow us to hurt sometimes? Absolutely. But
do we put ourselves in places and he just, I guess that's still allowing. We put ourselves in places and things happen because of this earth place we're in. And I guess that still might be allowing.
But it's in the hurt that we get his consolation. You know, I've had to learn that the hard way. There's been times when I won't say I've shaken my fist at God.
Mm-hmm.
And gone, why? I don't understand. You know, but there have been times when I did not go to him with my heart.
Okay.
And then there have been other times when I have, and I received this tremendous feeling of comfort. Not happiness. Heart hurts.
Hurt does. We can't. Sometimes I think we Pollyanna.
Right.
You know, positive, but sometimes, you know, and I've been that even recently, hurt to the very death of who you are, hurt to you, just kind of like almost like taking your breath away, and those are the moments when I've taken a quiet moment to leave to myself. I know you love me. I know you're there.
So we may have gone around in a circle, but I love this circle. We still all come back to it's God, and his word is life.
Mm.
You know, David, I love the very first psalm, and I can't, you know, I may not quote it perfectly, but he says, I will be in your word. If a man will dwell in your word and meditate on your word, he will be like a tree planted by the river, and the springs of life will not fail. And they, you know, it's, he is the word. Jesus is the word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, you know, it's almost, I can't put it into words because I don't totally understand it, but I believe it.
Which is even more important.
You know, it's by faith.
Because and then there's that measure of trust that no matter what you're thinking, what thought come into your mind about I can't, I won't, I'm this, I'm that, that his word says, and I love you anyhow.
Yeah.
You know, which is so cool because no matter what you perceive yourself to be or what you're going through, just if you get nothing out of this program, but he just loves you.
Yeah, lesson. I mean, well, what this, I think it's Paul that says that we should be rooted and mm-hmm. grounded in love. That's what that verse means. That is, first, get yourself to the place where you believe with all your heart, with all your soul. My spiritual mentor pounded this into me for 3 years. He said, Dave, there's nothing you can do that will cause God to love you any more or any less. So relax. You know, that you start there. Then you add everything else comes. You know, then the rest of it begins to fit. You begin to understand. But you got to get that.
We do, and I do feel like, we can have those moments when we have taken on words from other people. People have spoken some negative things over you, or you've spoken them over yourself, and maybe you've even carried them for a lifetime. And I know there's some things that even if I think about it now, there's some words that have been spoken over me that I've spoken over myself that I've carried for a long time. And I'm just being so transparent. I can't have a great relationship. I'm not capable of having love or having that person in my life. But you know what? It has just come to me last few weeks, that I just trust God about whatever is next in my life. And I am loving and I'm lovable and I'm capable of giving love. But more importantly, I'm taken.
Yeah, you are spoken for.
I am spoken for.
You are the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, good grief. How you can't get much better than that, you know.
And what a perfect love is that? What a perfect love is that? And that's the power of the word and the renewing of the mind when I really looked at that and realized that I'm the bride of Christ. I'm part of that. I am that. And how wonderful is that? What does that mean for me? It means that no matter what kind of love any man can give me, it cannot even compare to the love that Christ has for me or the love that my Abba has for me. It can't even compare to that.
So when you get there, when you are there, then any other relationship is icing on the cake. Any other relationship is a gift from God. They're great. They're wonderful. They're great to have. But you're willing to be single because you have this. You're already married to Christ, and you know everything else is extras that He does not owe us, but chooses to give to us because He loves us.
Well, and then I trust you, and you talked to me about that, about trusting Him so much that you know I trust you with my dreams. I trust you with my desires. I trust you with everything that I had for myself or I thought I had for myself. I trust you with that. So, and if I trust you, then, you know, what you have for me, because anything you have for me is so much greater than what I could even think of for myself. So that has been a process of growth for me, a renewing of the mind, actually since this summer, in the last few months.
Right. Well, we all have to have refresher courses. I go, I do.
Well, I definitely have them.
You know, and we have seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And we have times when God speaks to us more clearly than others. And we have times when we have to just trust that he is there when we don't feel him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it happens, you know. We are fortunate to live in the age of the New Testament, you know, where the Holy Spirit never leaves us. But there are times when we can grieve him to the point where we don't feel him,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and we can suffer those consequences, but he still didn't go. He still didn't leave. And, you know, this is a good season for me. I think it's a good season for you.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, ask me again.
Me too.
And tomorrow, somebody else may need to say to me, Dad, do you believe? Have you got the word in your heart and in your mind and in your soul? You know, are you walking in the Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just abandoning the love? You know, we won't go there. I don't want to preach. I'm just saying, God is real. Whether we are walking in that or not is our choice.
Mm-hmm.
It is a choice.
It is. It really is. Well, I pretty much have said, you know, we kind of went all around, but we got to the place in that there is power in our thoughts. Which, you know, we've said that, and people have said that. There are power in the words, and the words that we choose to speak over our lives, and that we can renew our mind through the power of the words of God as spoken to us, the words he gives us, the words he gives us in our quiet time, in our meditations, in the word itself, in the Bible. There are words and promises of God. That is how we get over those times when we have carried the negativity and the negative words inside of us and almost created our world through those words. Just remember the power of the words, the power of the Word of God, the power of the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word, you know, that is the power of the Word. So we're going to go back out with Brett Hammond and Bread of Life. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got something out of it. I had such a special guest today, Mr. Dave McDowell, who is an awesome man of God and shared some things and made this program swing today because I was struggling a little bit. Hey, you know I'm real. So we're going to Fred Hammond, Bread of Life. I hope you have a blessed week. Be powerful because you serve a powerful God. Be powerful. Because you serve an awesome God. Have a blessed week. And we're going out, Bread of Life with Fred Hammond.
Sit down, O Lord. If anything you are on us, a holy king, a constant tide. You are the living word, babe.
Father, we thank you. You are all.